Scripture teaches that Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the creator. And the same one that creates has power and dominion over what he has created.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Hollick, your host, and I am so happy to be a part of your life in a small way through Straight Talk Radio. We are entering a season where we're partnering together with churches all around Chicagoland, and that season is called Explore God. Maybe you've seen the billboards on the highways, or on social media, or in the newspaper, or on the radio. This is really exciting. We are inviting Chicago to explore God. We believe that the message of Jesus will hold up. If you really want to know God and you begin to explore Him, you can meet Him and know Him personally. And this series, it's a 7-part series. We're going through that new life. And so our over 650 churches around Chicagoland. And we're going to be answering questions like, does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really God? Is the Bible reliable? And can I know God personally? This is so exciting because people you know who have real questions are going to have a chance to meet the real God with real answers. We'd love it if you visited one of our New Life locations. If you have the opportunity and don't have a church, we're at newlifechicago.org. You can find a New Life near you. There's over 27 in the Chicagoland area. Or maybe you're part of a great church and you want to invite some friends to the website to see Explore God. You can take them to exploregod.com. Or if you want information about joining up with us, it's exploregodchicago.com. Totally free to you. Huge investments been made to reach Chicago for Christ, and this is a great opportunity. We're so excited about it. Pray with us. Come be a part of it, and let's get ready now for the message. Here's Pastor Mark.
Thank you, Josh. We continue today Pastor Mark's series called First Things First with the second half of his message called Mixed Up Christianity. We continue on in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Now let's look at that word firstborn and understand the context in which God uses that term firstborn. Do you realize, for example, that the rabbis, when they talked about Jehovah, God the Father, they would refer to him as the firstborn of the world. And that doesn't mean the world was the father and the world gave birth to God. It just means that he is ranked number one in the world. The Jewish people, when they had a son, they would say, this is my firstborn son. If they didn't like the firstborn son, they would assign the rank of firstborn to another son. And sometimes it wasn't the firstborn because it had to do with status and power and position. Are you tracking with me? The point that I'm making here is that oftentimes our theology is confused when we believe that Jesus is a created being. According to Scripture, hear me well, I'm talking about Orthodox Christianity. This is hard for a lot of people to grasp, hard for a lot of people to understand. But if you're gonna embrace the Christianity of Scripture, Orthodox Christianity, you need to embrace this kind of Christianity. It tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God. The Logos, the Word, was with God. And listen, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Listen, and later on it goes on to say in that passage, and the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who's it referring to? Jesus. Wait a second. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So I don't know why you're making such a big deal about it, because listen, if you don't get Jesus straight, then you don't get the gospel straight. You don't get the gospel straight, you don't get power to change straight. You don't get the church straight. You don't get life straight. You miss everything. If you don't understand who Jesus is, if you don't understand the person of Jesus, if you don't understand undiluted version of Jesus, then your Christianity will be powerless. You need the real version of Jesus in order to have the real power to change your life. Some of you have never changed because you have the wrong Jesus. You've never had the right Jesus, so you don't have power in your life to change your life. So he says, first of all, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Secondly, I want you to understand this. Secondly, he's the creator over all things. And by the way, do you realize that, for example, do you realize that over this issue of Jesus being God and his position in the Trinity, so to speak, that there has been division? For example, we're meeting right here in this auditorium that used to be St. Callista's Catholic Church, right? And do you realize that the Church of the West, which became the Roman Church, and the Church of the East, which became the Orthodox Church, do you realize that they divided 100 years ago over this issue? There was a creed by the name that they called the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was written in 300 and something AD. It was written to clarify who Jesus was, right? Well, at that time, there were several bishops over different towns in different areas, about 5 major cities. And Islam was making its way up on one side of the church. And another religious thinking was making its way up on the other side. And it was called Arianism. Arianism, it doesn't exist today, but we still have Islam that exists today. Arianism was a distorted view of Jesus. Arianism, and it's the word we get Arian from, the Arian race from. Arianism believed, we call it modalism right now. Arianism believed that there was no Jesus, Son, God, and the Holy Spirit. They believed there was one God. He just put different masks on. Like he showed up as the Son, showed up as the Holy Spirit, showed up as God at times. That's what Arianism believed. And so the church decided, hey, we need to clarify this point. And so they added one word to the Nicene Creed, the word philoque, which means of the Son, to make sure that it was clear that the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son were separate beings but one. One side of the church said, hey, Islam is coming against us. They already think we have three gods. We don't want to add that one word in there. The other side of the church said, hey, we need to add that one word in there because there's confusion. And so the bishops at that time divided, and one stream, one branch became the Orthodox Church. Have you ever seen an Orthodox Church like in Eastern Europe? You know, the long robes and the hats and so forth, and they have their own sort of sanctuary. And then the Church of the West, which was mainly the Roman Catholic Church, developed a separate, and they divided over this word. So what I'm telling you is your theology, your view of God's important. There's entire buildings that have been made, entire traditions that are based on someone's view of who God is. The second thing I want you to understand about an undiluted version of Jesus is this. He's the creator of all things. It says, by him all things were created, things that are heaven, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. And listen, and all things were created for him. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this. If Scripture teaches that Jesus is the creator of all things, there's some implications to that. He is the creator. And the same one that creates has power and dominion over what he has created. That's why we pray when it comes to healing or transformation, even in the physical realm. We pray for people to be healed because we believe that the one that created is also the one that is the great physician. I believe in God's power to heal. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Hey, I believe that he's the creator. He has power to do whatever he wants over his creation. He has authority over his creation. And there's some of you here in this place that have experienced the unexplainable supernatural power of God in your life in physical healing. I believe that he does more than physical healing. I believe he's spiritual healing, emotional healing. He can heal at every aspect, relational healing, but he is the great healer. In fact, his name, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And power, I don't necessarily believe in healers. I get a little nervous with, you know, healers that get too, that it's all about them healing. But I believe that God heals through the power of prayer. And I believe that in the laying on of hands and praying for people to experience healing. I get nervous when one person gets too much glory about healing. It should all go to God. God is the ultimate healer. Remember that. God uses vessels, but he's the healer, not a man, not a woman, not a person. He's the one that heals. I don't believe in secret potions. And someone on television says, you know, buy this little jar of oil. This will, you know, only $100 donation will really, hey, whoa, wait a second. Don't fall for that. There's no holy water from Jerusalem that's going to heal you. There's no oil, you know, that's been extricated from olives in the Holy Land that has magical power. That's superstition. That's voodooism. That's junk. But God is a healer. And you go directly to the presence of God and experience and call upon God because God has power to heal. And if there's anybody that is struggling, the Bible is very clear. Have some of the leaders of the church come together, anoint them with oil, not because the oil is magical, but because the oil symbolizes the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint them with oil and pray over them. And so on a regular basis, we'll have this altar open. If someone needs prayer, we'll get out some oil. I don't want you to think, hey, where's that oil? Because that oil is really good. Can I have some for my house? No. We're not giving you holy oil. That's just, I don't know. It's not vegetable oil. We try to get olive oil, but we try not to use 10W40 oil because that's just not a good idea. But there's nothing sacred or holy about that oil. I don't have holy water. I don't have holy oil. I have a holy God. And that God has power to touch people's lives and change people. So don't come up to after me and say, Pastor, can I just have a little bit of holy oil? No. Okay, all right. Wrong church. Came from wrong church for that stuff. All right, so he's the creator of all things who has power to touch our lives and heal and power over nature. He's also, it says in verse 17, he is the sustainer of all things.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Mixed Up Christianity. It's part of our series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 1 with his message, Mixed Up Christianity.
Gnostics believe that God created the world and then just walked away from it as though he's not involved in the world anymore. And I don't believe that. I believe that God is the sustainer, means that he is involved in sustaining his creation. God didn't just make you and abandoned you. God didn't just wind it up and say, I hope it works. I'll be back in a few millenniums. God is intricately involved in his creation. God is there. I don't believe in pantheism. Pantheism is God is in everything. But I do believe in the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere all of the time. He sustains all things. He sustains your life. Some of you right now are being sustained miraculously in your time of tribulation and trouble simply by the comfort and the power of God. You don't even know why you're being sustained. You just know, like, I feel like there's a hand holding me up. I feel like there's a covering on my life. I feel like, man, on my own, I would be falling apart. But I have this power that's sustaining me. I have this strength that's holding me up. It's almost like I'm floating here, man. I should be down. I should be under. I should be crushed. I should be in deep depression. I should be contemplating suicide, but I am being sustained. I'm holding up. I'm going forward. It's the power of God sustaining your life. He is the sustainer of all things. That means he's actively involved in orchestrating the mechanics of the universe in your life and your family and your spirituality. He's a sustainer of all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." After he had provided purification for our sins, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Next, it says, not only is he the sustainer of all things, but in verse 18, it says, and he is the head, not the tail, the head. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and recognize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We have no, I'm one of the pastors, but never refer to this church as Mark's church. You'll insult me. Or you go, I go to Mark's church. No, that's not my church. Oh, God forbid, not my church. This is God's church. Jesus is the head of this church. He is the head. Now there's human leaders and pastors and teachers, but you see, if the church were an institution of men, a church could be it could be demolished. It could be stopped. It could be arrested. But if the church is a living organism, in which this living organism has Christ as its head, the living Christ as its head, and the body of this head is the church, then it has this supernatural power to survive, because it's not an organization or an institution, it's a living organism, the church of the living God. It has survived 2,000 years and sometimes of blatant ostracism, bigotry, and persecution, yet it survives. There's been people that try to stamp it out, burn churches, burn Bibles, close it down, forbid things. I grew up in a country that when I was in that country, we could only meet because we were being pushed and ostracized. We met in a horse stable. Our windows were broken. Our front doors were burned. The secret police interrogated my father oftentimes because they were suspicious of religious activity. People were kicked out of their homes if they came to church. I grew up in a country where there was some persecution when I grew up there. We live in an America where there's a lot more freedom than where I grew up experiencing Christianity. But at the same time, let me tell you this. Oftentimes people say, well, the church is dying. Have you ever heard people say that? Church is dying. Can I tell you something about the church? The church will never die because the church is founded by Jesus. He's the head and it's a living thing. The church will survive. In fact, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. Let me just tell you something about the church. In North America, the church isn't doing very well. In Europe, there's empty cathedrals and buildings. Oh, but don't think for one moment that this thing called the Church of the Living God is on health support, that it's not in a breathing apparatus. It doesn't have an IV hooked into it. Do you realize that as I speak right now, over 20,000 people come to Christ every year in Africa? Do you realize that in South America, a church is born every 8 minutes? 8 minutes go by, a new church has been birthed, a new church. And people are coming to God in droves. Do you realize that in China, there is a revolution of Christianity happening, that the Christianity is growing so rapidly in China that within the next 15 years, there will be more Christians in China than there are in all of North America? The church hasn't stopped. The church has migrated to where people are open. And sometimes, listen, to be honest, Sometimes it's our materialism and intellectualism and our options and our lack of need of God that have made us a difficult people to be reached. But God is still alive. Do you realize that in the last decade, there's been more people that have come to Christ worldwide than in the last century before us? There's revival happening. God is doing it. And I say, oh God, don't pass up North America. Lord, don't pass us by. We need a breath of God and a move of God in a powerful way in this nation as well. He's the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And I want you to understand that if you look at the church as an institution, or if you look at the church as a building, you will not capture the essence of the church. The church is much bigger than that. It's held together by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is the head of that church. He's the head of the church. And so we always want to honor Jesus in all that we do and in all the ways that we operate as well. And by the way, have you ever noticed, just a side point here, have you ever noticed if you step on someone's toe that it's their mouth and their head that says, ouch? So be careful when you kick at the church of the living God. Yeah, it's not God, but it may be God that says, oh, well, ouch, that's my body. When you talk about someone, oh, ouch. When you talk about someone in the church, sister, so-and-so. I don't like the way she looks. I don't like the way she dressed. I don't like the way when you come in. I'm going to sit on that side. I hope she sits on the other side. Listen, whoa. Do you realize you're talking about the bride, the body? You just stepped on a toe. And you think the toe's not connected to the head? Hey, you may step on the toe, but it's the head that's going to say, ouch. You just stepped on me. James says, when some of the least brethren walk into the church and you look at their rags, you look at how they're dressed, you see this is a poor person, let's sit them in the back. Not give them a place of prominence. They're not going to be able to tithe. They're not going to be able to help. They don't have good education. James says, you better be careful how you treat the least of these, my brethren, in the church, because what you're doing to the least of these, man, you are doing to the head. And so our vision of this church is I don't care where you come from or how you dress or where you've been or how long you've been there or whether someone walks in from partying all night before and they walk in this door and they have, man, just to say hi to them almost makes you high because their breath is so high. And you say, well, you shouldn't come to church. Listen, I want them in church. I want them here. You know how many people have started that way? You know how many people came here and they were all messed up and came in that way? And if we would have said, you know, you shouldn't come to church that way, they would have gone to the bar again. But now we have people in this church now because people loved on them, prayed with them, helped them, got them in a 12-step recovery group, told them Jesus can change their life, that there's hope, that it's not an end, that God can restore a life. And now they're healthy, well, addiction-free individuals walking in the power of God because a church didn't turn their back on them. Amen? And it says, so he is, verse 19, he is the fullness of God. The fullness of God. I love that statement. The fullness of God. He chose that the fullness of God, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. By the way, in the Greek, this word fullness is not referring to a temporary indwelling. It refers to a permanent dwelling. The fullness of God should dwell in Jesus. All his power, all his might, all his love, all his omniscience, all his knowledge should permeate and saturate the person of Jesus. It's the fullness of God. The fullness of God. So you say, well, Pastor, when I pray, how should I pray? Should I pray to Jesus? Should I pray to God? Should I pray to the Holy Spirit? It's really confusing. How many of you have ever asked yourself that question? Should I pray, be praying to Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you how you pray. It involves the three in one. You pray to the Father. You pray through the mediator, who's Jesus. And you pray with the help and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who teaches you what to pray. They're all actively involved in your prayer. You cannot come to the Father except through the Son. It's the righteousness of Jesus that gives you access to the throne. You come before the Father in Jesus' name. I come before you because it's righteousness that's cleansed me that gives me access to your throne. And when I don't know how to pray, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to know how to pray. Because have you ever been in a place where you say, I just don't even know what to pray. I just don't know what to pray. And you say, Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach you what to pray, how to pray, when to pray. He empowers you to pray. You pray to God through Jesus Christ. You pray to God the Father, who has the authority to grant and change things through the mediator Jesus the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the triune God is involved in this prayer.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church and Moody Bible Institute's new president with the second half of his message called Mixed Up Christianity. It's part of our series called First Things First. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 3, Living Your Bigger Purpose. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.